Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And hope your Thursday is going well. Thursday, January 27, 2022, we have a very busy morning for you. So much breaking news to cover, a ton of news in the newscast itself. And after the break, we're going to be checking in with Christy Hamrick from Students for Life. She's their chief media strategist, and we'll discuss the announcement yesterday and the official announcement coming today regarding the retirement of Justice Breyer on the High Court and what that means or may not mean for the pro-life movement. I was talking with Father Frank Pavone earlier in the first hour of my program. One of the biggest things that we have to do is to use this, in addition to obviously calling our senators and expressing our concerns, but also using this as yet another opportunity in connection with the Dobbs case to educate on the life issues. As we'll hear from our friends from Students for Life, Breyer was directly connected, and we have a story about this in the news, and Catholic News Agency has an excellent report on Breyer's history with abortion in the Supreme Court. He's connected to a decision regarding partial birth abortion, not to mention going after pregnancy resource centers. So they are going to be looking for someone very similar, if not even more extreme on abortion. They've already said that, the Biden administration. We'll talk more about that with Christy Hamrick. Interesting story that we're going to be discussing at the bottom of the hour with a Protestant brother of ours, a leader in terms of raising awareness on what's happening at the border. There's a new report out, and I thought it was very important to get this information out there. Now, obviously, as a Catholic Church and as a people of God, we're always concerned with those who are in very difficult situations. And we do believe in helping the most vulnerable from womb to tomb and the immigrants that come across the border. But as the Catechism teaches, we also have a responsibility to make sure we are doing that legally. I'm paraphrasing what the Catechism says, but the Catechism is clear in the fact that the country has a right to protect its borders and that people, when they come over, they should respect the laws of the country. So what's happening at the border? Well, there's a lot of awful things that are going on in terms of children being abused. And this is what this report highlights in terms of so many stories that are not being told about the plight of the children coming across and the lawlessness that's taking place. Ironically, again, maybe not so ironically, I don't believe in coincidences, Mayorkas, the head of the Homeland Security Division for this administration, is down at the border today where he's meeting with law enforcement who are not exactly happy with what's going on. So we'll get the perspective from Danny O'Hannon on that and what this study shows us and what we as concerned Christians can do. And then we'll wrap up with one of our own, Christine Roussel from Catholic News Agency, examined this a very detailed study. Believe it or not, and I believe in giving credit where credit is due, that the New York Times did on the horrific results or lack thereof when it comes to prenatal testing, how many of these tests that are done, very, very high percentages are false. The results are not true. And so this often leads women, God forbid, unfortunately, to considering an abortion. So we're going to talk about that. And I read the entire story. It's quite long and detailed to the New York Times, but I would highly recommend it and have to say it's very important that they're highlighting this. And again, you give credit where credit is due. Not a huge fan, obviously, of the New York Times for a variety of reasons, but this report I thought was pretty well done. Could have used a little bit more about the abortion issue, but overall showing how the FDA has failed on this and they're really taking the FDA to task, I think it's very, very important. So again, as I said, a very, very busy morning. I do hope you can stay tuned for the entire hour. Now, today is the International Holocaust Remembrance Day, and I wanted to recommend, as I said yesterday when Joan Lewis and I were talking about this and the Holy Father bringing this up, of course, at the audience yesterday about the cruelty and how it can never, ever, ever happen again or be ignored. The wonderful book that was written by a Catholic priest in the Netherlands came out several years ago from Ignatius Press. It's called Edith Stein and Companions on the Road to Auschwitz. It's an incredible book. And it gives you the true story of what happened. And there's so much criticism still, even though there's been a big effort to clear up all the misinformation that's been out there, about the Catholic Church allegedly not doing enough with the Nazi regime. Well, one of the reasons that Teresa Benedicta, her sister, and other Jewish converts were arrested and taken to the death camps is because their bishop was speaking out against the horrors of the Nazi regime. And it was in retaliation for that. So there's a lot of information in this book, but it's very powerful. I did want to give you a few quotes from St. Teresa Benedict. I just love her. She was considered herself a suffragette. She was a true feminist. And even though she did not have a friendship with John Paul II, I believe the two of them had so much in common because she did so much in terms of really doing a lot in terms of what women could do at the time when she was growing up. She was a professor. She was a philosopher. She was a teacher. She was a writer. And it was the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila that quite literally almost hit her over the head and said, "This is truth." And that led her on the path to Catholicism and to become a Carmelite nun. So here are a few great quotes from this saint as we mark this Holocaust International Remembrance Day, because she was raised Jewish and is a Catholic convert, of course. I love this quote. Listen to this. "And when night comes and you look back over the day and see how fragmentary everything has been and how much you plan that has gone undone and all the reasons you have to be embarrassed and ashamed, just take everything exactly as it is. Put it in God's hands and leave it with him." And I love this. "Let go of your plans. The first hour of your morning belongs to God. Tackle the day's work that he charges you with, and he will give you the power to accomplish it. When you seek truth," she said, "you seek God, whether you know it or not." And this one, and boy, does this speak loudly right now. "Do not accept anything as love which lacks truth." St. Teresa Benedicta, pray for us. 6 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning. A ton of news to get through, folks, so let's get started. You are listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Well, more on this coming up after the break, but Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer retiring. The liberal justice nominated by President Bill Clinton and has been on the court since 1994. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying the GOP's decision on possible support for the next nominee will come later.
Majority Leader has indicated he'll move forward with the nomination through the committee and onto the floor, and we'll take a look at who the new nominee is and decide later whether or not to support.
Breyer has been under increasing pressure for progressives to retire as they feared a possible future Republican president would appoint a conservative to the high court. Kentucky's McConnell has threatened to block any Supreme Court nominee put forward by Biden in 2024 if Republicans regain control of the Senate. Breyer will step down this summer at the end of the term, giving Biden ample time to present a new Supreme Court nominee. A member of the liberal wing, as Catholic News Agency reports, Breyer has consistently supported abortion rights throughout his time on the court. Back in the year 2000, he authored the decision on Stenberg versus Carhart, which found that Nebraska's law banning partial birth abortions was unconstitutional as it did not have an exception to preserve the health of the mother. In Hill versus Colorado, which was decided one day before Stenberg versus Carhart, Breyer joining with the majority in upholding a Colorado law prohibiting protests outside of abortion clinics. Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn telling Fox News a vacancy on the high court gives Democrats a distraction from real issues.
"People are all concerned with inflation and crime and COVID and CRT and the wokeness and the lockdowns and the mandates and Russia and Ukraine, and now they're trying to do this."
The Republican senator also criticizing the White House for how they've treated Justice Breyer, as progressives have called for him to retire for some time. Blackburn says a confirmation process will likely take up to 6 weeks, and she will hold the nominee to account to make sure they'll uphold the Constitution and rule of law. In other news this morning, at his weekly general audience yesterday, the Holy Father, as Christopher Wiles with Vatican News tells us, reflecting on the figure of St. Joseph as a man of dreams, saying Jesus' foster father knew how to use the dreams to discern God's will and to turn it into action.
Pope Francis began his catechesis by noting that in the Bible, dreams are considered a means by which God reveals himself. Dreams, he said, symbolize the spiritual life of each one of us, where God speaks to us. At the same time, however, he warned that there are other voices within us, including the voice of the evil one, who wants to deceive and confuse us. Therefore, the Pope said, it is necessary to cultivate discernment, which allows us to recognize the voice of God amongst many others. Pope Francis reflected on each of the four dreams of St. Joseph recounted in the Gospels, beginning with the appearance of the angel in his sleep, who helped Joseph resolve the conflict that arose when he learned of Mary's pregnancy.
Molte volte la vita ci mette davanti a situazioni che non comprendiamo.
Life often puts us in situations that we do not understand, and that seem to have no solution, the Pope said. Praying in those moments means letting the Lord show us the right thing to do.
Pope Francis, meanwhile, intending to make a two-day visit to Malta in April. That, according to a local newspaper, Catholic news agency saying the Times of Malta, reporting on Monday the Vatican had informed the government and church leaders the Pope would visit the country on April 2nd to the 3rd. The Vatican, however, has not yet confirmed that report. And beware, if you're on the East Coast, millions in the Northeast are preparing for a massive storm to hit this weekend. Here's meteorologist Bill Cairns, who says the cold air already upon us.
Look at northern Maine this morning. It's negative 28 degrees in Caribou. That's one of the coldest I've ever seen in northern Maine. We're at negative 7 in Syracuse, so there's plenty of cold air in sight to be used up by this storm. Right now, 34 million people included in winter storm watches.
Forecasters say the storm will have the power of a hurricane, unleashing heavy snow and causing blizzard-like conditions. That will make for dangerous driving on Interstate 95 from New York City into the nation's capital. Mark Mayfield tells us Russia and Ukraine officials are talking as tension between the two countries continues to grow.
Bloomberg reports a Kremlin official told reporters that representatives from the two countries will meet again in 2 weeks. Officials from Germany and France were also in on the meeting on Wednesday. The spokesperson said the discussions lasted 8 hours and were not easy. However, Ukraine's presidential chief of staff said the talks were a small step forward.
Senator Lindsey Graham says Russian President Vladimir Putin, meanwhile, should be hit with sanctions right away. The South Carolina Republican saying he thinks more weapons and supplies should be sent to Ukraine so they could defend themselves from a potential invasion by Russia.
The bottom line, Putin deserves to be sanctioned now. He's put over 100,000 troops on the Ukraine border. We're having to withdraw American citizens and government officials because of the provocation. He's destroying the Ukrainian economy. He's thrown the world in a ditch.
Graham saying Putin is trying to break the will of NATO, and because of that, he believes NATO should be made even stronger with more support in Russia's border countries, adding the U.S. can hurt Russia's economy way more than anything that could do to the American economy. Graham adding this is a direct result of the Afghanistan debacle, and the world sees Joe Biden as weak. As we mentioned earlier today, January 27th, International Holocaust Remembrance Day, dedicated to the memory of the millions of people murdered by the German Nazi regime before and during World War II. January 27, 1945 is the day the Auschwitz death camp in Nazi-occupied Poland was liberated. More than a million people, including nearly 900,000 Jews, were killed at Auschwitz. Between 1933 and 1945, two-thirds of Europe's Jews, some 6 million people, and millions of other minorities were killed. Governor Ron DeSantis says White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki's view on monoclonal antibody treatments for COVID-19 patients is simply false.
But the idea that somehow this has led to, like, massive adverse reactions is just a lie.
The FDA Monday announcing it had withdrawn its emergency use authorization for two monoclonal antibody treatments. DeSantis saying that forced a last-minute cancellation of thousands of appointments to receive those treatments. Trey Thomas tells us a search continuing today for possible survivors off the Florida coast 2 days after a boat carrying dozens of migrants capsized.
One person was found alive clinging to the boat. 38 are still missing after a body was found Wednesday. The Coast Guard said it planned to continue the search overnight. The lone survivor told authorities the 25-foot vessel hit severe weather after leaving the Bahamas on Saturday. No word yet on where the migrants hail from.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas will be in El Paso, Texas today. He plans to meet with DHS employees to discuss ongoing operations at the border. The visit coming a day after a reportedly very tense visit with Border Patrol agents down in Arizona, where one agent reportedly turned his back on the secretary. That meeting saw agents complaining about the Biden administration policies they say are leaving them simply unable to patrol the border effectively. Mike Rossia tells us a Texas man is now facing a federal weapons charge for allegedly selling the gun used in the Texas synagogue hostage situation earlier this month.
32-year-old Henry Michael Williams has been charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm. Authorities say British citizen Malik Faisal Akram used the weapon he bought from Williams to hold the rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel and three others hostage for hours. The standoff ended after more than 10 hours when the hostages fled just as an FBI tactical team moved in and fatally shot Akram. Earlier Wednesday, British police arrested two men in Manchester in connection with the investigation.
Finally, in our news segment at 15 minutes past the hour, rent prices going up. They continue to trend upwards across the U.S. Cost of rent roughly 10% higher last year than in the year 2020, growing five times faster than it did over the first year of the pandemic. The news comes per Realtor.com's monthly rental report, December, the sixth straight month of double-digit annual increases, with national median rent for a one-bedroom up close to 20% for the previous year. Miami seeing the largest hike in rent over the previous year, jumping up almost 50% from where it was the previous year. It is a Thursday morning, January 27th. Hope you're having a beautiful morning so far. If you're along the East Coast, batten down the hatches, as they say, because it is going to be pretty rough out there. Let me give you a brief weather forecast for you before we take a break and talk with our friends at Students for Life. A potential winter storm impacting the East Coast, as you heard in the news, that begins tomorrow and runs throughout the weekend. A pair of storm systems meeting and combining off the eastern seaboard into a powerful low-pressure system. They're saying heavy snow, gusty winds, and coastal hazards are possible from North Carolina to New England, with the most significant impacts in eastern New England. And they say the forecast will continue to evolve. So keep that in mind, especially if you're traveling or live along the eastern seaboard. We'll be right back with Students for Life. More on the retirement of Justice Breyer.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu. Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I often go to the quote of the great late Father John Hardin, wonderful catechist and Jesuit priest, educate, educate, educate. This is another opportunity, brothers and sisters, to keep the issue of life front and center. Christy Hamrick agrees with me. She's the chief media strategist for Students for Life. We were just talking about this during the break. Okay, Christy, I don't know where to begin. I have so many questions, but just your reaction to the resignation of Breyer. Not exactly a surprise, but pretty ugly in terms of, I mean, I'm not a fan of his. I'm not saying that. But the way the extreme left and the left overall have been pressuring him, I mean, putting billboards out there, trucks with big signs saying step down, it's just been over the top.
Yeah, here's a guy, Justice Stephen Breyer, who has been a reliable vote for the left for almost 30 years. He's only been on the court a little less than Justice Thomas. So you're not talking about anybody who's in any way ambivalent about everything that the left wants, about abortion, about opposing the death penalty, about fill in the blank. You know, he's their man. And they start a giant campaign to run him out before Biden's bumbling administration collapses. They want to give Biden a win. They want to get a reliable abortion vote on the court. And they just railroaded him out of office. And, you know, he's not been a friend of ours in the pro-life movement. But they put that announcement out yesterday. They leaked it. He has still not made an official announcement that he's leaving, which is really shocking.
Is he supposed to make the announcement today?
Well, normally, if a justice were retiring, it's the kind of thing that they do on, like, the last day of court. You know, they do it at the close, which is not till almost July. So, in my opinion, Biden's team, seeing these dwindling poll numbers, wanted to throw some red meat to their base, and they certainly did. But, you know, I can only read between the lines, but the fact that Breyer has had nothing to say about it, I'm sure he's very unhappy about that.
So in terms of his record, we were talking during the break, this really is an opportunity to educate about the reality of abortion in our country.
Absolutely. Most people don't understand that Roe v. Wade established, along with Doe v. Bolton, these two court cases established abortion through all 9 months for any reason whatsoever, sex selection at all, and sometimes with taxpayer funding. That's what it did. Now, just because every abortion vendor doesn't do abortions through all 9 months doesn't mean it's not available in the U.S. And for people who think that that's crazy, abortions through all 9 months, you've got Planned Parenthood and Florida testifying that they can't rule out infanticide. You've got Governor Northam in Virginia talking about making the baby comfortable while he or she dies. This is just the reality of abortion. So Students for Life tracks the views of Millennial and Gen Z. That's the groups that we work with primarily, and Gen Y now. And they, when you educate people on Roe, we saw a 10% shift in people's opinions, pro-Roe to anti-Roe, when they understand, number one, 8 in 10 millennials want to vote on life-related policy, which Roe does not allow. Roe wiped out all the abortion laws in the nation and replaced it with the Supreme Court's very bizarre judgment that somehow trimesters matter and you're not a person until this point or that point. And it doesn't allow the kind of voting that people want. But when you look at what Roe does, we found, talking to millennials, 67% opposed sex selection abortion. 60% were very offended by the disproportionate number of minority lives lost to abortion. And I hope people understand that. Roe has allowed an unbelievable devastation of minority communities. 58% oppose abortion up to the point of birth, and 55% don't want to pay for abortion. And then we also found support for, like, the Hyde Amendment, which limits abortion spending to rape, incest, and when the mother's life is in danger. So what people need to understand is that Roe and Doe are radical. I'm not asking us to join the UN Coalition on Abortion. That would be a terrible idea. But you have to note that the U.S. is only one of 9 countries in the world, standing with North Korea and China, allowing the devastation of abortion in an unlimited way. And if you think that's not happening, look at California, look at New Mexico. Those states.
New York. Look at New York. New York State, right?
Right. Late term abortion, right. You know, New Mexico, people might not know, it's sort of the late term abortion capital of the U.S. Crazy research going on. And so abortion in the U.S., it's widespread, it's deadly. Yes, it includes babies way more than viable, babies even born. And, you know, we need to get this out of Supreme Court and back to the people.
We only have about 2 minutes left, Christy, and we'll have to have you back on because there's so much more to talk about. But this will not change the makeup of the court currently. But what should we be doing in terms of still using this as an opportunity to educate and reminding people the importance of elections, that elections do matter?
Absolutely, elections matter. You know, there's a midterm election coming up, and confirmations go through the Senate. So we need pro-life senators. That's what we need. I'm not telling you which party to pick. I'm telling you look for their abortion opinion and vote pro-life first. So that's the most important thing. You need to vote pro-life first. This is going to go to the Senate. Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader is very clear that he's going to try to rush this through so he can get his abortion vote. People should be calling their senators now saying, I want to see life protected in law. Again, I don't care what party they are. You still should make your voice known because it needs to hurt for them to vote the wrong way. Students for Life is going to go out across the country to gin up support for fighting for life. And so I hope you join us. We'll have more announcements on that later, but we've been out on the road during Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation
right,
process.
I remember.
Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch. So we'll go to the grassroots level to let senators know the people in your state care how you vote. And I'll hope you join us. And I know, Teresa, we'll talk to you about that when it comes
Amen.
Up. Probably
yep.
not to the summer.
Look forward to it. Thanks for your great work. Christy, what's the website for Students for Life?
Come to studentsforlife.org or studentsforlifeaction.org, and we'll meet you there.
All right. Christy Hamrick, Chief Media Strategist for Students for Life, responding to the resignation, which hasn't officially been announced yet by the justice, but Justice Stephen Breyer apparently retiring. That's what all the media are reporting. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Did you know everything about Catholic family life is a prayer? Because of sacramental grace, when families do all the normal things we already do, but do them with the intention of sharing Christ's love with each other, we're praying. When you hug your kids, hold them an extra second and give them a hug from God, too. When you make a meal, ask the Blessed Mother to help you make it in the same spirit she served her son. When you discipline your kids, take a moment to pray together and ask God to help you learn to take even better care of each other. Inviting God's grace into everything we do is how normal, messy families become real domestic churches. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We just wrapped up the week of worldwide Christian unity, and it's so great to work together with our Protestant brothers and sisters to make a difference on the front lines of many issues. On the phone with us is Bishop Danny Yohannan. He's Vice President for Gospel for Asia. Just released a very important report. Trafficking grows as young victims remain hidden in pandemic shadow. There's a world report from the Gospel for Life, and he's the Vice President, actually Gospel for Asia, and giving us information on what's happening at the border, especially with young people. Danny, thanks for joining us. I was telling you during the break, it's very interesting because the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas is meeting with Border Patrol agents today to talk about some of the problems at the border. I think the story that isn't told out there in the culture is this issue of trafficking growing. What did you find in this report? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
No, it's my privilege to be here. Thank you so much for having me. You know, I think that what most people don't realize is just because it's not in front of us, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
It is one of those realities that, you know, if I don't see it, it really doesn't bother me. And even if I do see it, I just kind of ignore it. And that's not really following the very heart of Christ, who, when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. And I think that, you know, very often things are so wrapped up politically that the common people, all of us, find it hard to even know what to do besides praying, mm-hmm. which is extremely important. I think a lot of people don't even do that. And so I think, you know, our heart in what we do in Gospel for Asia, GFA World, is primarily in Asia and helping the kids and especially the women that are in vulnerable areas and risk. But every nation, including our nation, we see that women and children and those at risk are the ones being preyed upon and being used for just crazy, crazy things all around the world. And what people don't realize is, you know, and it's not a trend that we just need to be aware of, is that slavery and the sex trade and child labor and a lot of these, you know, big terms and big words that people throw around is actually on an increase. Mm-hmm. You would think that with all the efforts, things are kind of slowing down, but slavery is actually on an increase because the cost of purchasing a child or someone either into the sex trade or into bonded labor is actually cheaper. And so you have a growing market for these areas, which is devastating. And, you know, it's not going to be resolved simply by people talking about being aware of these campaigns right. and things like that. It really does cause us to need to move to action, especially pray. And that's the challenge that I would have for every Christian is like, could you take 5 minutes out of your week this week? Could every parish, every church, every cathedral this Sunday, could they take 5 minutes during their divine liturgy or their service or their mass mm-hmm. and actually ask God to intercede on behalf of these broken people that desperately need his love in a very tangible, practical way. And this is where, unless our Christianity becomes like practical and tangible, we're just saying words and we're just kind right. of going round and round on the merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm. Now, the report that we're discussing this morning highlights, as you say in the press release, a U.S. Border Patrol video showing human smugglers dropping sisters, 3 and 5 years old, from Ecuador over a 14-foot section of the border fence in New Mexico desert. The smugglers running off, leaving the young girls alone in the dark. The border situation, says the report, is a stark reminder that children are in crisis right on our doorstep, wherever we live in the world, and the problem is growing worse. So this is such a huge problem. And, you know, Danny, sometimes it seems, as you said, that all we can do is pray. But how do we practically apply this in the real world with our Christian faith? Because this is a huge problem in terms of trafficking, and it doesn't often get covered. What gets covered in the secular media, which is often very biased, is that we're helping people in need. Now, obviously, as Christians, we are concerned about the least of these, but they're not talking about this things that you're talking about in this latest report. So how do we practically address this to get people to pay attention?
You know, I think, you know, what we've found in the different areas of the world that we work, especially in Asia, which in some cases is worse. The tragedy is worse, where you've got kids who are purposely maimed and hurt so that they can be beggars on the streets. I mean, it's horrifying, you know, kids being blinded for these kinds of things. I think where people need to start, and this sounds very, very, you know, probably strange for people, but it really does start with all of us praying and asking God to fill our hearts with compassion. I know it sounds like, well, that's not really doing anything, but the reality is most of us are so busy with life. We're so busy with our own world that until our hearts are filled with compassion by the compassion of God, it will never move us to action. And then when our hearts are filled with compassion, whatever we can do, whether it's making sandwiches and going down Skid Row and giving sandwiches to the people under the bridge, or it is joining in with a soup kitchen to help people, unless people are willing to say, if I could help one person, it really does make a difference. You know, and paraphrasing the quote from St. Mother Teresa, you can't feed the hundred. At least you can feed the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when you talk about our world and GFA world, you've got 2 billion people that have never even heard the name of Christ yet. You've got, you know, 600 million bonded laborers, kids that are in bonded labor. You got millions and millions and millions of people without access to clean water. And the need can be so overwhelming that you literally just don't know what you can do. So the practical answer is, one, is ask God to fill our hearts with compassion. Second, what is something that you can do right now? What's one step in the right direction? Maybe it's just praying. Maybe it's going and helping. Maybe it's going and joining with a group that's already doing something, showing compassion, showing comfort. To realize that every one of these precious kids are made in the image of God. They have the image of God stamped on them, and that we are to love them. And so, you know, for most of us, it's going to be far away. It's not going to be that we see things that are at the border. But, you know, I would say encourage people to pray for the organizations that are helping, to give towards those organizations that are helping. Volunteer whenever you can. And if you are able to practically help someone, even just across the street. I remember during the pandemic, in the last couple of years, how many people were literally next to us not having food. Mm-hmm. And it was as simple as just checking on our neighbors, checking on the elderly, just make sure they have food. And I think that's where it begins. I know it sounds very rudimentary, but it is basic, you know, can we make this part of our normal Christian life so that the witness of Christ is practical and that we are different than everyone else? Not just what we do on Sunday is different, but our life is different. We are the light. And that's where I would say is the beginning, because that's what we see on the mission field with thousands mm-hmm. of our national missionaries, that they walk into a place, they walk into the slums, they walk into the leprosy colonies, and simply cleaning the wounds, helping people with food, telling them that Christ loves them, doing things in the name of Christ purposely so that they can embrace them with the yeah. love of Christ.
And I also think, you know, again, you pointed to the example of, you know, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and she did things right in her own area, right? She moved into India, but we know that in cities and countries around the world, oftentimes the traffickers are getting, you know, the children from right under, you know, our own noses. So again, to start in your own neighborhood is a great point. Danny, thank you so much. I had so many other questions. We definitely will have to have you back on. Thanks for your work to address this issue from a truly Christian perspective. For more information, go to gfanews.org. They have a press release there on this new report regarding children in crisis. We'll be right back.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does this strange beatitude mean? Well, Father Victor Feltz points out that George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life embodies this beatitude. He has to sacrifice his bucket list items and his dreams in order to save the building and loan company of Bedford Falls. But by the end of the movie, he realizes that he's truly the richest man in town. The Beatitudes challenge our understanding of happiness both as individuals and as a society. They're paradoxical and they upend our priorities. We don't need anyone to tell us that good fortune, money, and success do often make us happy. But we wouldn't have thought that the road to riches in God's kingdom is paved with meekness. It doesn't mean denying your gifts, but it does challenge us to allow others to have the spotlight and to approach them with gentleness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
For Christians, love was central to everything, because before the creation of the universe, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in all eternity, communicating in love between themselves. This is going on before there's ever a moment that we refer to as in the beginning. So Christianity introduces into the history of human thought this idea that love is underneath it all. In fact, Luke Berry, this atheist philosopher writer, says, it's quite clear that without this Christian belief that love is at the center of things, we would not have our human rights revolution that we talk about today. We take this for granted. You know, we have gay rights and women's rights and transgender rights and minority rights and this right and that right. There'd be no rights whatsoever without the incarnate Son of God.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
If I disciplined consistently, I'd be disciplining constantly. If I were consistent in my discipline, that would mean I would discipline more, and I'd be disciplining him often. The exact opposite is the case. More consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. Why? Because you're predictable. The child knows if he does A, you'll do B. That is why, when you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
Morning, minutes past the hour. Hope your Thursday morning is going well. January 27, 2022. Working on connecting with our next guest, and we'll let you know as soon as that happens. In the meantime, I do want to remind you, and this is really, really important. This is a big breaking story. It is going to be super rough out on the East Coast, and I just want to give you the update on the weather. Just a reminder, be very, very careful if you're traveling out to the East Coast, if you live there. Batten down the hatches, as the old saying goes, this huge winter storm. And they're saying that it could begin as early as tonight or tomorrow morning and then run through the weekend. They're talking hurricane winds. They're talking blizzard-like conditions. You've got a pair of storm systems that could be meeting and combining off the eastern seaboard into this powerful low-pressure system of which they're speaking. Heavy snow, gusty winds, coastal hazards possible from North Carolina to New England, with the most significant impacts in eastern New England. So, as a trained news person, I'm trying to keep you updated on all the news story. This is a big story, a major story, the other major story, really, that's out there in addition to the developments of Justice Breyer. So while we're waiting for our guest, and if we get her, great. If not, no issues. I did want to go back to St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. I wanted to share a godsidence I had with her, actually two godsidences that occurred. And you know, in my latest book, Listening for God, I talk about something known as a godsidence, not a coincidence, because we don't believe in coincidences. Now, today is not her feast day. Her feast day is August 9th, but today is the International Holocaust Remembrance Day. If you know anything about St. Teresa Benedicta, she is a convert to Catholicism, raised in the Jewish faith, actually became an atheist before she discovered the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila. And after she read it, she said, "This is truth." And that led her down the road to not only convert to Catholicism, but eventually discern the Carmelite order. Okay. And I mentioned this book, and I highly recommend it. It's published by her friends at Ignatius Press, and it is Edith Stein and Companions on the Road to Auschwitz. It's written by a priest from the Netherlands who studied her life and studied the Nazi influences in that part of the world during World War II and what happened to not only the Jews but the Jewish converts and so many other people that were murdered by the Nazis. And St. Teresa Benedicta, what I love about her is that she was a true feminist. And I always imagine the conversations that she and John Paul II are having in heaven about women. And she truly represented women in the new evangelization, which, by the way, is a great ministry if you want to check it out. I'm the chairman of the board for this ministry, and the website is catholicvineyard.com, but I digress. I really just feel the need always to lead you to the saints. I'm just so big on the saints. And as a matter of fact, no coinkydink, the gospel for today, where our Lord is telling us not to hide what we have in our faith. And if you haven't done your readings yet for today, it is from the gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is a lamp brought in to be placed under a bushel basket or under a bed, and not to be placed on a lampstand. For there is nothing hidden except to be made visible. Nothing is secret except to come to light. Anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear." He also told them, "Take care what you hear. The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, and still more will be given to you. The one who has more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So I thought that was interesting in terms of not placing a lamp under a bushel basket. And I think often we do that with our saints. We see them in the pictures, we have the statues, but we don't dive into their lives and their amazing teaching. And especially if you're concerned about women and women's issues. St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, who lost her life at the hands of the Nazis, would be someone to really study and someone of whom to call upon, you know, to ask for her intercession, especially in this culture that attacks women so much. So I just love her so much. So anyway, I read the book prior to my interview several years ago with Father Hammons, who's the author of this terrific book on Edith Stein and Companions. And I was just so moved by so many things about her and the efforts that she made and how she was growing in her faith and how she connected with so many other Jewish converts. And he talked about her sister and their friends. It was just an incredibly well-documented and moving book. And so after the interview, I could not get St. Teresa Benedicta out of my mind. Her whole story, her whole love of God, regardless of her circumstances, it just really affected me. And so I sat down afterwards to do the readings. I hadn't gotten to them earlier prior to the show that day. And I was with my Magnificat and doing the readings, and then I look at the reflection. Now, again, remember, her feast day is August 9th. I did not do the interview on her feast day. I think it was a few months prior. I think the interview was in June or July. And so I'm reading this reflection and thinking about her. She's on my heart. And the reflection is from her that day, all about surrendering to Christ. Coinkydink? I think not. All right. God Sentence number 2 with the great St. Teresa Benedicta, Edith Stein. Also in that beautiful book, Edith Stein and Companions, is the story where the writer, the father, tells how this beautiful statue of St. Teresa Benedicta was dedicated at St. Peter's at the Vatican. And it's next to a statue of St. Teresa of Avila. And I went back and I read that twice, and I'm like, wait a minute. I've been to, blessed to have been to Rome and St. Peter's a gazillion billion times, and I have not seen that statue of St. Teresa Benedicta. I know that there is a statue of Miguel St. Teresa of Avila, my patron. She is the first one on the right when you walk into St. Peter's in the main aisle. But where is this statue, or the statues, I should say, plural, the statues of St. Teresa of Avila next to St. Teresa Benedicta? And it describes kind of where it was, near the Vatican Gardens, blah, blah, blah. But I'm thinking, I don't remember, and I've been to the Vatican Gardens many times before. I didn't remember seeing it, and it was driving me crazy. So fast forward a few months later, and I'm heading back to Rome on a pilgrimage, and we happen to have a private tour of the Vatican Gardens. And our bus picked us up, and there's a back entrance, which is actually right across from Joan Lewis's apartment, a back entrance right behind Paul VI Hall. And right next to the Santa Marta, where the Pope lives now, the Santa Marta residence, which is technically connected to the back end of St. Peter. So if you're looking, if you're standing in St. Peter's Square and you're looking to the left, that's where, you know, Pope Paul VI Hall is, and behind that is a Santa Marta, and then behind that is an entrance that I mentioned. It takes you behind all of those buildings and brings you right to the beginning of the Vatican Gardens. Now, it's quite a large area, and so our bus was going through, and I just was thinking about this. This was still on my mind and in my heart. And so I start talking to my girlfriends, St. Teresa of Avila and St. Teresa Benedicta. And I'm like, I would really love to see this statue. I would really love to say hi to you ladies and just see these statues. I'm really not familiar with where these other images of you are placed. So help me out here, sisters. So lo and behold, literally we pull in, and I am not kidding you. Now the bus, again, could stop anywhere. And we had one of those small buses because we had a small group, only about 20 people. You could stop in front of the Santa Marta. You could stop closer to the Vatican Gardens and the big fountain there. You could stop, you know, right by the spot where you do the Scavi tour, which is kind of closer to St. Peter's Square on the other side of the square and the church. But where did we stop? Literally, right in front of the two statues. And as I'm saying these prayers, as I'm calling on these beautiful saints to show me these statues, I literally turn. I get up to walk off the bus, and I turn, and right there in front of me, a large statue in the back of St. Peter's, which if you're on the outside would be right behind the main altar, behind the baldacchino. If you're looking at, you know, the church, it's, you know, the church on the outside. Big statue of St. Teresa of Avila. Next to her is a smaller statue of St. Teresa Benedicta. And so immediately I recognize the statue of St. Teresa of Avila with the quill and the book, which is very familiar to us. And yet next to her is St. Teresa Benedicta, and she's holding a crucifix, and it's wrapped in the Torah. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was so beautiful. It was one of those powerful God sentences. So I want you to really look at this and look at these saints that God has given us, especially someone like a Teresa Benedicta, the journey that she was on and what she teaches us about total surrender, whether it's a daily surrender, as she mentioned in those quotes I shared with you at the top of the hour, or a total surrender to Christ in terms of what she knew was going to be her fate, because it was pretty obvious leading into the developments with World War II. And to open your heart and mind to making an effort to read the writings of these saints, especially in this culture that attacks women on a regular basis and yet presents the opposite. They talk about caring about women. They talk about caring about children. I almost fell off my chair when I heard, and I pray for her, but it's really a source of tension for me. Nancy Pelosi saying she's running again because she cares about the children. It's all about the children, the children, the children. I'm looking at that interview and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Your support of abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy, in all the years you've been in D.C., in all the years you claim to be a Catholic and you care about the children, the world presents the opposite of reality. And as St. Teresa Benedicta tells us, that's not love. If someone is presenting love without truth, that's not truth, nor is it love. These saints give us such wisdom. And even though they may have lived 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, tomorrow we're celebrating the feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas. Talk about a giant in the church. But everything they give us is timeless and can easily be applied in our world today. So on this, as we mark the Holocaust Memorial Day internationally around the world, please do yourself a favor and find out a little bit more about this great convert from Judaism, Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Don't keep her lamp, her light, under a bushel basket or under a bed. Place it on a lampstand, where it can be made visible for all to see. And as she says, this is truth, to know Christ and to live Christ in the world. 52 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning, January 27th. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Friday. St. Teresa Benedicta, pray for us.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. And our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thanks so much for listening to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, of course. Find us both online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Coming up tomorrow, of course, can't wait to talk with Doug Keck. We'll do a follow-up and kind of a breakdown of all the great coverage that EWTN provided for both the March for Life in D.C. and also the Walk for Life West Coast, not to mention all the other great pro-life activities and other events that we covered. And really, kudos and a big, big raising of the hands and supporting all the great people at EWTN, because it's so much work that the network does to put into the into these efforts. And I hope you really appreciate it and that you show your support. First, of course, we need your prayers. And secondly, as Mother Angelica always said, and as Father Mitch still says, to keep us between your gas and electric bills. So Doug Keck tomorrow gives us also the inside word on upcoming programming, as well as looking back at this incredible week of coverage of life. And we're working on a number of breaking stories for you, breaking news stories. So we're not sure. We're looking at a couple of things, more on the pro-life issues with Justice Breyer. There's also a number of other stories that Andrew and I have been working on. We like to kind of really just go along and see, okay, what's making news? What are people talking about? What's important to us every single day? So we're kind of looking at a number of different things. So right now, all we have in the schedule, and this is very, very good, for starters, is our very own Doug Keck. And that comes up at 15 minutes past the hour for the inside word on EWTN. I will post my recommendations, both the book recommendation that I gave today and the film recommendation that Joan Lewis and I talked about, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. I'll post that on Facebook if you're interested in finding more out about those, both really, I think, tools to learn more about the Holocaust. Stay tuned to EWTN for more great programming coming up. And again, don't forget, archives can be found at AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. And be careful out there. Be safe. If you're on the East Coast, you're going to be hit with some bad weather. We'll be praying for you. And talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.